Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Esther. That's right after the book of Nehemiah and just before the book of Job.
Not to be mistaken for Ezra.
That's right. This is Esther. The reason I said that is because I had a hard time finding it. It's terrible when I have to go back to the index to find out what page it is. Esther chapter 8. We're going to be reading verse 9 on here, and I don't know if you made a note in the margin of your Bible or not, but verse 9 of Esther chapter 8 is the longest verse in the Bible. The longest verse in the Bible. Anyway, let's start reading in verse 7. Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, this is the king speaking, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him, Haman, they have hanged upon the gallows because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants and the deputies and rulers of the provinces that are from India unto Ethiopia, and 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. Verse 10 goes on to say, and he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name and sealed it with the king's ring, sent letters by post on horseback and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries, etc. Now, there in verse 8, talked about the writing which no man can reverse. And that's what we want to think about for a little while this morning. In our court system, a judge or jury can hear the evidence in a case that's brought before them and make a decision. That is, they can render a verdict. And as you well know, if one party is dissatisfied with that ruling, it may go up on appeal. And the appellate court will hear it. And the appellate court may reverse the ruling of the lower court. And the case may be tried again. Or if they agree with the latter court, then that person can go all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has the authority to reverse the writing, so to speak, the verdict of juries and judges and things like that below. So, why I said that to say this, our laws are in a continual state of change. In fact, if I remember some of the campaign promises that our president made, his whole campaign was based on what? Change, wasn't it? A changing. Well, every time that our legislature meets, changes are made. The existing laws are changed, are modified, and new laws are passed. And did you know that even the president of these United States of America cannot make a writing that no man can reverse? under our present form of government. Well, this king that we're reading about in Esther did. He was the king of Persia. You know, Persia is Iran since 1935. So the president of Iran, Persia at that time, issued a decree. Now, there was a Jew hater in that day by the name of Haman. And he had talked the king into making a decree to kill all the Jews in his kingdom. Hey, does that sound familiar? Hasn't the president of Iran kind of said something in the same flavor? So Haman was going to kill all of the Jews in that Persian Empire. And remember that at that time, that empire extended from India to the east, to Ethiopia on the west, 127 different provinces. Man, they're going to kill all of the Jews. Now, it was through a petition of Esther, his wife, the queen, and Mordecai, that the king issues another decree. And this decree that he issued is set forth in verse 11 here, allowing the Jews to defend themselves against those who would kill them under the previous decree that had been issued that he could not annul or cancel. Now this great, we call it the Medo-Persian Empire, it's the way it's listed in history. This great Medo-Persian Empire extended from India to Ethiopia, lasted for about 200 years. It was in history sandwiched in between the Babylonian Empire with Nebuchadnezzar and the Kingdom of Greece on the other side of it, Alexander the Great. Now, they had an earlier king of Persia whose name was Darius. He too had issued a decree that no man could reverse. That's back in Daniel's day. Daniel was a Christian. He believed in God and he prayed to God three times a day, and a lot of the other people in the kingdom didn't like Daniel, and they didn't like Daniel's God, and they wanted to get rid of him, and so they had the king sign a decree that no man in the entire kingdom could ask a petition of any man or God except the king. They had to make their petition to him for 30 days. And that's up on, they'd be thrown into the lion's den. And so they talked the king into signing that decree, and after it was made, Daniel broke the law. He went out and prayed to God. And these accusers went to the king and said, "Hey, Daniel, one of your chief presidents, prayed to God instead of you. Under that decree that you made, he must be thrown into the den of lions." Oh, the king is all upset. He didn't want to throw, he liked Daniel. He didn't want to put him in a lion's den and have the lions eat him up. And so he tried and tried to change his decree. They said, "No, you can't change the decree. You can't change it because it's a law of the Medes and the Persians. And this writing cannot be reversed. Even the king that made the decree could not change it." So that decree resulted in Daniel being cast into the den of lions because he broke the law and prayed to God. Well, you know the rest of the story about Daniel, how that God closed the lion's mouths and no harm was found on him. But anyway, we're talking about the decree that no man can reverse. Our God is a King of kings, isn't he?
Amen.
If these earthly kings had such power to make an irreversible decree, then certainly this one who has the power to raise up kings and set down kings has that power. I tell you this morning, God's word, your Bible, may be denied, ignored, neglected, refuted, argued, disregarded, burned, misinterpreted, or anything else, but one thing about it, no man can reverse it.
Amen.
No one can reverse it. It was old Omar Khayyam that said, the moving finger writes, and having writ moves on. Nor all your piety nor wit shall lure it back to cancel half a line, nor all your tears wash out a word of it. The writings of our Bible, including the New Testament, were completed before the end of the first century A.D. And through the years, there have been many translations made of it. In fact, the translating of the Bible is still going on today into different languages that people of the world speak. And there have been many versions of the Bible published. But God's Word has not changed. No man can add to it. No man can take from it. God says, my word shall never pass away. Not only is it eternal, but it is unchangeable. Now let's look at some of these things that of this writing that no man can reverse. What God has written about sin, no man can reverse. And God has written that the soul that sinneth shall surely die. He says the wages of sin is death. And he says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what God has said about sin, no man can reverse. Sins may change. But what was sin in God's sight 60 centuries ago is still sin today. Things that were wrong in Noah's day are still wrong today. And those things that were true in Abraham's day are true today. God's laws, His statutes, His judgments, His decrees, His commandments do not become obsolete, are antiquated, are outdated, are out of style. They do not change. And nothing can change the fact that Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:11, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus died, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Somebody wrote a song, since He took my sins and my sorrows, He made them His very own. He bore my burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. But you know something else? What God has written about righteousness, no man can reverse. Did you know that you and I, or anyone else, can get into heaven except we are as righteous as God Himself? And yet, the Bible declares, there is none righteous, no, not one. God says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. What's the answer? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. He, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, He is our righteousness. Think of that. His righteousness is imputed, transferred over, and applied to us when we accept Christ as our personal Savior. What we could not do, Jesus did for us. Four facts. One, God requires righteousness. Two, we have none. Three, Jesus gives us His. And four, God accepts us and is satisfied. And we get to heaven on His ticket. What God has written about our Lord Jesus Christ, no man can reverse. Read it in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then you read that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. And then we read that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God, our Savior. He is the one of whom the Father said, I am well pleased. And we can declare the deity of Christ without any danger of being reversed by man. All the modernists today may scream and cry, he's just a man. And the feminist may say, he's a woman. And write a Bible to prove it. But that doesn't change God's Word. They cannot disannul God's eternal record. Jesus Christ is the Son of God and God the Son. And listen, what God has written about salvation, no man can reverse. No man, regardless of his political position. Listen, if this came before our Congress and they voted 100% to disannul it, forget it. They can't do it. No man can do it. No church council can do it. No college of bishops can do it. No ministerial alliance can do it. No ecclesiastical assembly can do it. No papal decree can do it. No one can reverse God's Word, what God says. Oh, they may come along and say, salvation is by works. Doesn't make it so. Keep the law. Salvation is by baptism. You've got to be baptized to be saved, some of them will say. You've got to join the church. Church membership will save you. But don't you believe it. You stay with what the book says. You stay with what God's irreversible word says. Because everyone who has ever been saved, including those of us who are saved today and those who will be saved between now and the time the trumpet sounds for his coming, is saved the same way. Oh, God could have made it complicated, but he didn't. There's only one way for all men everywhere, regardless of what continent they live on. Listen, be he Catholic, Protestant, or Jew, be he Democrat, Republican, or Independent, be he Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, etc., be he American, Russian, Chinese, what have you. Salvation is by grace through faith in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross for the remission of sin. It's always been that way. It shall always remain that way. God's word is irreversible. God says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. That's what God says about salvation, and no man can reverse that. It's written in permanent ink, so to speak. And what God has written about death and eternity, no man can reverse. Death is sure. Eternity is certain. Oh, I know the followers of Mary Baker Eddy and her Christian Science movement may believe what she said, and let me quote her words. Hellfire and judgment are the ravings and imaginations of mortal error. But that does not reverse the writings of God, which says after death, the judgment. That does not reverse what God says, that death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. They knock on your door, the Jehovah's Witnesses come, and they believe in complete annihilation. But that does not reverse the word of God, which testifies that hell is as real as heaven and just as eternal. Yes, sir. So whether it be the teachings of theosophy, Mormonism, unity, Islam, modernism, whatever, all of their teachings that are contrary to the word of God are false.
Yes.
They do not change or alter or reverse the writings of God. And this same word that no man can reverse gives us the assurance that once we become a child of God, there is no one, not even the devil himself, can change or alter that beautiful relationship that exists between Jesus Christ and those who believe in him. That same word remains true. Paul put his persuasion in writing, And I like this in Romans chapter 8. He said, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness and grace toward us. We thank you that you have given us a book, this book that we call our Bible, which is the verbally inspired and infallible Word of God, written by the Holy Spirit of God and directed to us. It, through the ages, it's been preserved for us. The devil has tried to remove it. They've tried to burn it and destroy it. But yet, it's going to last forever. And we thank you for your blessed word today, for the comfort that it gives our hearts, for the inspiration it is to our souls, even when we read it. We hear the voice of God speaking to our hearts as we read its pages. Father, we thank you for it today. We thank you for the truths that are in it. Thank you for the privilege that we have to study it and to read it and to stand here and expound it to these, your people. What a blessing it is to our hearts to know that the Bible is the Word of God, and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He is our Savior. And Lord Jesus, if there's someone here today that does not believe on you and has never accepted you as their personal Savior, I pray that today during the invitation that they will come forward and receive from your nail-pierced hands the eternal gift of everlasting life that you give freely to all who believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Number 487.
As we sing this morning, will you come?